Very cool. Very cool stuff. Yeah, we had a great time at VBS, and we're going to be doing that for the next few weeks. So thank you for all that, those that helped with VBS. And so many people here serve in so many ways. And so thank you, everybody, for that, for all you've done. I want to welcome you here. My name is Kevin St. Clair. I'm the associate pastor here, if you don't know me. Welcome at home on the live stream. We are so grateful that you've decided to join us today. We've been in Ephesians. So a couple weeks, we took a break last week for 4th of July to talk about that and just to honor, you know, the great sacrifice that's been made for our country. I hope you guys had a good time at 4th of July. But now we're in Ephesians 5. We're moving on through the chapter. Speaking of the 4th, you know, last weekend obviously was the 4th of July. A group of us celebrated at Orchards Park, which is what we do quite often at this church. And we all get together at Orchards, and it was as spectacular as ever. I don't know if you got a chance to get out there. I mean, 30 minutes of explosions, right? You know, it's something to behold. It's pretty exciting. And I think there were hours of explosions in my next to my house, and probably yours too. So I don't think anybody slept that night. But if you've been out to the fireworks display or things like that, you know that parking is a nightmare, right? Anybody have a nightmare doing the parking thing, trying to get home? It used to be here that you could, you know, you could go and you could actually get pretty close to the field. And then you could, if you got there early enough, you know, you could drop off your people at least, get them close. But now, you know, things have changed a little bit. And they have, that big parking lot that's the closest to the park is just kind of all blocked off now to all human life, right? Nobody can get in there except for the vendors and those that need handicap access, which I discovered. And this is a good idea, obviously, right? This is a great idea. But unfortunately for me, when I went out there, it meant I couldn't get very close to where I needed to drop stuff off. But of course, you know how it goes. You try anyway. You know, you're going to ask and just see if like they might bend the rules for you, right? So, of course, I did that. I tried anyway, and I drove up, you know, right up to the gates there, and I asked very politely, hey, can I just, you know, swing in there and drop off a few items, you know, because we're doing this church thing, and I got all this stuff in my van, and I just need to get closer and drop it off. And you know what the answer was? No, you can't do that. Can't do that. Okay, so rather than, you know, just ram through the barriers, you know, and be crazy like that, you know, I obeyed. That's good. One of my sons was with me, so setting good examples here, right? I obeyed. Of course, for me, that also meant that I had to park much further away, which I was already prepared to do that, but I also had to carry a bunch of big stuff, right? So it's a little inconvenient. And one of the things was like our church banners, the big flags that, you know, I promised you would be up so you could find us. Remember I promised that? Well, I kind of had to break that promise. Because we had to park so far away, so I'm carrying the church banners in, right, so I can keep my promises, and they're like these giant wind sails when you're trying to carry them. They really are. And so it's like, yeah, I'm fighting against the wind, and they're wrapping around my neck, and all this stuff. We're trying to carry chairs, and like, this was not what I expected, you know, and then all of a sudden, whoosh, I totally whacked this girl. With the end of the stick, I just whacked her. And I went, oh, I'm so sorry. You know, I wasn't planning on trying to carry these things through a windstorm. But luckily, I knew who that girl was. I had met her before, so she totally forgave me. We're all good. You know, there's no lawsuits or anything like that. So we're good. So finally, you know, I made my way to the park. We got there, and I started, you know, hammering down my stakes, my flag stakes, bow, you know, bow. And these things are hard to hammer down, by the way. I've had to put them down a lot of times. They're really hard, so I get this stake in the ground, bow, plant our flag. There's our spot for Hope Church. Everyone's going to see this. I'm very excited about it. Guess what? One of the park, Bentonville Park, you know, workers came over and said, you can't do that. I'm like, what? I thought this was Independence Day. Like, can't I do whatever I want to do? Can I just put up a flag if I want to? I didn't say that, but that's just what I thought. So, I told him, I said, hey, I'm just trying to let my people know where we are. But sadly, I was not able to convince the park attendant to let me do this. And so, after all of that, I was not able to put the flags up, so I'm here today to apologize for that, right? No, that's not why I'm here. But I just want to tell you, don't look for flags next year, okay? We probably will do balloons or something like that. But you know, this is, it's so ridiculous, really, but these are just the simple, everyday encounters that happen in our life. These simple things between people where someone has to submit to the rules. That was me. And someone else has to enforce the rules. They may not even want to enforce the rules, but they still have to enforce the rules. And I may not want to submit to the rules, but I still have to submit to the rules. And this stuff happens every day. You know how it goes. And the deal is, if we don't want to see fireworks going off between people, right? This is Paul's next advice in Ephesians to guide us through those crazy times. And here's what he says. So let's get back into Ephesians chapter 5, verse 21. It says this: submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Submit to one another. I'm talking to everybody. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. I had to do that a couple of times at the 4th of July celebration. But that right there, that scripture right there, this is really the most important aspect of submission. This is it. The ultimate reason for anything we do is out of reverence for Christ. Really, that's what it should be out of, reverence for Christ. And in this case, you know, at the park, it was kind of important to be kind and to be respectful, right? My son was with me. Sometimes things don't go your way, but here I am, you know, and I've got the Hope Church shirt on, you know, our cool brand new shirts. Dan, I see you're wearing one. You look very good, my friend. The Hope Church shirt, you know, I've got one on. I've got a flag that says Hope Church. It's giant. You know, it's like, hey, this is my church. Am I going to be mean about it? How am I going to react, right? I'm kind of representing something. So I probably should do the right thing in that situation. But honestly, things like staking a flag into the ground, right, that's not so hard. It's not so hard to submit to something like that. But there are things that are much harder to submit to out of reverence for Christ. Like this next part, Paul addresses specifically to wives. You ready for this part? We're going there. Let's go. This part of Scripture is specifically addressed to the wives, okay? Now, let's read it. Ephesians 5, 22 to 24 says this: wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as you do to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he is the Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. In everything. Now, let me just clarify something real quick. Everything means everything, but it doesn't mean stuff that's not biblical, okay? It doesn't mean stuff that goes against what the Lord says. So everything doesn't mean everything, but it means everything that's good. Okay? Whew, I'm starting to sweat up here right now. This is like crazy. Whew, man. Listen, this could be one of the most hated verses in the Bible. And I get to preach on it. Yeah! This is one of the most hated verses in the Bible. Who wants to be told that they should submit? Nobody wants to be told that. I don't want to be told where I'm supposed to park, let alone told what to do in my marriage, right? Now, you have obviously heard of the feminist movement. Anybody heard of that? I don't know how you couldn't have heard of that. It's everywhere. I don't think this is their favorite verse. Do you think? I don't think this was on a poster for that movement. But the feminist movement in our country has really been around for a long, long time. And I wouldn't be able to pinpoint one particular group for you today that is the feminist movement, but rather the movement represents anything that has to do with women's rights. And you hear this a lot. You're hearing this all over the news, every political campaign, all over the place. It all has to do with women's rights, be it race, gender roles, right? Pay in the workplace, harassment, domestic violence, right? And now orientation, you know what I'm talking about? And of course, reproductive rights. These are big things, big parts of this movement. And what the feminist ultimately feels is stuck in the views and traditions and roles that the world tells her she must believe and adopt and act like. Okay, now I didn't just make that up. I actually watched a video, I read some articles, okay? This is actually from that. This is what the feminist feels, stuck in the views and traditions and roles that the world tells her she must believe and adopt and act like. Okay, they don't want to be told their role. I'm not downing anybody today. Okay, I'm trying to speak truth. They don't want to be told their role. In fact, but what they believe is this. Everyone on the planet deserves the right to be who they wish to be. I don't know if you agree with that or not. But this is what this movement believes. And that's really at the heart of a lot of movements that are going on right now. I want to be who I want to be, okay? But I want to tell you quickly what this movement is all about. After all the advocating for women's rights, here's what you can extract from the core of the movement, okay? It's about choice for them. It's about choice. The choice for a woman to make the best decision for herself and not be told what she's supposed to do. I think they would agree with me that that's what it's about. I honestly do. But hold on a second, because that sounds a bit different than what we just read in Ephesians, right? That sounds a little bit different than what we just read in Ephesians. It kind of defines a woman's role in marriage. Kind of lays it out. And before we go any further, I want you to know this. Paul never instructs men to tell their wives to submit. He doesn't instruct men to do that. It's totally different than that. And I want to try to explain that today, okay? In the context here, Paul is telling Christian wives to place themselves under the authority of their husband in Christian households. So he's not talking to the feminist here. He's talking to women who want to follow Jesus. That's who he's talking to. If that's you, he's talking to you. Now, let me tell you what Christianity is about at its core. Okay? It's the same thing. It's about choice. Quite honestly, it's the choice as to whether or not we will live our lives under the authority of Christ. This is a huge difference when you're talking about choice. The choice that God gives mankind has always been the choice to follow Him and live according to His ways. To be honest, it's the choice to submit to God's ways and to do what pleases God. The choice that the feminist advocates for is the choice to determine what is best for herself. And that's a whole different choice. That choice rarely, if ever, involves submission. I don't want to lose sight of what Paul said at the beginning of this chapter. If you weren't here 2 weeks ago, the last time we were in Ephesians, we read the first two verses. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave Himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice of God. As a Christian, we are constantly faced with this choice. This does not mean we choose what we think is best for us. It means we choose what God thinks is best for us. And that is always the dividing point between Christianity and these other movements. I know what I want, and what I say I want, what I think I want, what seems right, but what does God want? That's the struggle right there. What it means for us is that we don't always rely on our own wisdom or the wisdom of man to make good choices, but we rely on God's wisdom for our lives. Proverbs 3, 5 and 6, very, very familiar passage here, says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding." Okay, then it goes on to say, "In all your ways, submit to Him." Some translations say acknowledge Him. But the idea is to submit to everything in your life, and He will make your path straight. The idea is that when we submit to Him, He guides us and directs us on the path we should go, not the path we think we know is the best path. So our path should be directed by leaning into God's wisdom, which always involves submission, because we simply don't know everything that God is up to and what He's going to do in your life. I told you, that's a lot tougher than just putting a flag post in the ground, right? A little bit tougher. The feminist does not want their path directed. They want to direct their path. They want to make the choice. The movement is in many ways the opposite of what you as a Christian woman are called to be. There may be some things that correlate, but there's a lot of things about it that is completely opposite of what Christ has called a Christian woman to be. So let me continue here by defining the term submit right here in Scripture. The Greek word used here, what it means is to be subject to, which means it means to be under the control or influence or authority of someone else. Some see this as a bad thing because they see it as having to become less than a man. Right? A lesser ranking person, what you might call a subordinate, someone of less importance, someone who is secondary. And that's why it's hated by some people. It is seen as subjugation, which ultimately means enslavement. That's what some people see this as. But submission here in this context that we're reading, it does not mean enslavement, nor does it mean inequality, nor does it mean inferiority, nor does it signal a loss of dignity. Doesn't mean any of that. Literally, the word here means to put yourself under, arrange yourself under someone for a good and proper purpose. There's a reason behind it. I think about, you know, our daycare here at Hope Church. It's arranged. There's a director, right, who has authority, and then there's those under her. The church is arranged. There's a senior pastor. There's a board of elders. There's the body. There's people under. And the family is the same way. It is arranged. But there's one giant difference. There's a big difference here. Okay, in the family, it is a completely voluntary action. Right? When I come to work, I have to submit because I'm told to submit, and I have to. And if I don't want to submit, then I can quit and go somewhere else, right? It's different in your family. You don't want to just quit and go somewhere else. This is a completely voluntary action. This is about imitating Christ. It's always been about that. And here is how we do that in our homes through submission. We do it through submission. And a spoiler alert here for the rest of the sermon, all right? It's submission to one another. It's really what it is. Marriage works when marriage reflects Christ. In fact, all relationships work when they reflect Christ. That's how it works. Why is this? Because Christ willingly and voluntarily submitted himself to death on the cross. Did he have the right to walk away? Of course he did. He had that right. No one was ever treated more unjustly than Christ, who lived a perfect life and yet died a criminal's death. No one was hated more than him. But I can assure you this, Christ was nobody's slave. Nobody's slave. I want to prove it to you right here in John 18. In John 18, we have the moment of Christ's betrayal and attempted arrest. And I'm just going to read this for you. I don't have it up, but just listen. I'm going to read it for you. John 18:3-6. So Judas, who was the betrayer, right? He took a company of soldiers and some officials from the chief priests and the Pharisees and came there. That is, they came to the Garden of Gethsemane, where Jesus often met with his disciples peacefully. And he brought with him anywhere between 300 and 600 men, soldiers, chief priests and Pharisees, pretty big group. But they came there with lanterns, torches, and weapons. They were planning on a manhunt. That's why they brought all that stuff. They thought they were going to chase him down. But Jesus instead, what does he do? He approaches them. Then Jesus, knowing everything that was about to happen to him, went out and said to them, "Who is it that you're seeking?" "Jesus of Nazareth," they asked. "I am he," Jesus told them. Judas, who betrayed him, was also standing with them. When Jesus told them, "I am He," they stepped back and fell to the ground. Amen. In the original text, Jesus just simply says, "I am," right there. When it got translated to Greek, the "He" got added. The original text, Jesus says, "I am." That should sound familiar because we've heard this before. Way back when Moses was in the desert. Remember that? He's tending the sheep. He's lived in the desert for a long, long time. And he comes to Mount Horeb. And there he saw the Lord appearing in flames of fire. And the Lord speaks to Moses, telling him to bring Israel from out of the hand of slavery in Egypt. Wow. What a moment that must have been. But Moses said to God, "Suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, 'The God of your fathers has sent me to you.' And they ask me, 'What is his name?' What should I tell them?" What does God say? He says to Moses, "I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you." So here, when Jesus is betrayed and arrested, he declared who he was with the words, "I am." He was saying he was God. And the people were powerless to stand against him. And what it shows us is that Jesus was completely in control of this whole situation. He could have done so much more, but he simply drove them to the ground by just saying his name. Jesus was not captured. Jesus voluntarily gave himself up. He literally went to the very place where he knew Judas would find him. Because it's the one place Judas had been to multiple times. And Jesus went right there. Of course Judas is going to find him. He submitted to the will of the Father, even at this moment of betrayal. Jesus chose to lay down his rights. What an incredible example that is. What Paul is saying here in Ephesians is good for the Christian household. This is about setting an incredible example in your home. That's what you're called to do. It's an example that reflects what it means to place yourself under authority. And by that selfless, humble decision, you will teach your family how to place themselves under God's authority. Do you see that? Just like Jesus did. Listen, one day our kids will leave our houses, right? Most of you are saying, hopefully. But will they have learned to place themselves under God's authority? Will they have learned that in your home? Because that is really what they need to have a successful life. They have to make that decision for themselves. And they've got to see it in the home. See the purpose of this? Quite honestly, this is probably the most important example you will ever set in your entire life. It is the example of submission in front of your own family. But we have to be willing to do that. Now, let's shift over to the men. Let's check out the man's job. The man is called to love Christ. To love like Christ did. Ephesians 5, 25 to 30, we'll carry on here. Husbands, it says, husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. That's what Christ did for the church, right? That's what we're supposed to do. Love that way. Verse 28, in the same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one ever hated their own body, but they feed and care for their body just as Christ does the church. For we are members of his body. Again, we are supposed to be imitating God, like this chapter started with, by following Christ's example. Men, you are to love your wife like Christ loved the church. How did Christ love the church? By submitting to death. I would say we are also called to submit, which is to be unselfish, sacrificial, giving. This involves the complete focus of your mind and your will and your heart zeroed in on your family. And ultimately, you, as the spiritual head of the household, must submit to God's leadership. Yes, you have been given authority. But with that authority comes great responsibility. And more importantly, accountability. And men, if you drop the ball, you will be held accountable. So pick it back up, okay? You can be the spiritual head of your house. You've got to pick up that mantle and start leading your family. And if you look up the definition of love in a modern day dictionary, you're going to get a definition that amounts to this: an intense affection for someone else. Well, I think we've all had plenty of intense affections for other people, right? A lot of those didn't work out, okay? Why is that? Because this definition of love completely misses the idea of what love truly is. It's an incomplete definition. This is what Jesus said in John 15. He said, greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. Here is what love really is. It's actually submission at an even deeper level. I would say, men, we're called to submit at an even deeper level. Submit to God. Deny ourselves. That's hard. Die to myself for my family. There's submission involved in that. No one has ever loved us more than Jesus. Somehow, men, this is what we're called to do, to be like him. It's a tall order, but you can do it. You can love your family, lift them up. You can love your spouse. You can encourage them. I'm going to wrap up the message this morning. I want to invite the worship team back up. I think you guys have one more song to close us out with this morning. There's so much more to marriage than just finding ways to get along. Okay? And at the end of this passage, very end of chapter 5, says this: "This is a profound mystery, but I am talking about Christ in the church." And the truth is that when we act out of submission to one another, by placing ourselves under authority, and by loving one another like Jesus did, it serves as one of the best ways to help us understand what our relationship with Christ is like and how much He loves us. He loves His church. He loves His bride so much that He's willing to die for it. Won't you consider this morning submitting to that? And voluntarily place your life under His authority. And I want to give you that opportunity this morning. Maybe you've been coming for a while, or you're here new today, and you've never put your life, you've never made the decision to place your life under the authority of God and let Him start to direct you. And I want to give you that opportunity today. So for 30 seconds here, I want you to just bow your heads, and I'm going to ask if there's anyone out there who wants to do that. I want to pray with you after the service. And if you do, I just want you to quickly raise your hand. Okay? And if there's anyone at home who wants to do that, you raise your hand at home, and God sees you. And you just pray this simple prayer. And you say, "Lord, I place myself under Your authority. Would You start walking with me? Thank You for Your sacrifice and what You did voluntarily for me." Amen.